Welcome into Redacted on this Thursday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
We are longtime journalists who flew the coop, left mainstream media a number of years ago, and now we have this show where we cover the stories that you're not going to see in the mainstream media, largely. Sometimes you'll see it, but it'll be covered from such a Western bent. And we try to get to the heart of all of it here on the show and cut through all the smoke.
We question all narratives, and we come here with humble and open arms with information to share with you and for you to share with us.
That's right.
It's so, a two-way street.
To the many thousands of you watching right now, it's so funny. I learned something today. I learned that, in fact, if you actually smash the like button, this is true. This is no joke. And I'm not just saying this for you to smash the like button, although I'd love you to do it. It actually pushes YouTube, because, YouTube blocks us and bans us and censors us on a regular basis.
On occasion, yes, it has been.
If you actually press the like button, it actually sends it out in the feed to other people who need to see this information.
Do that. Yes.
Please do that.
Thank you indeed. Also, I'd like to remind you that we have a morning newsletter at morninginvest.com. All kinds of news there that I think that you would like. For instance, did you know that Coastal Grandma is a lifestyle that many people aspire to. So I did my best today with the dress.
Oh, yeah, you look like grandma.
Coastal Grandma. I also have a throw on my lap. I always have a throw, though. This little behind the scenes for you.
Philip is in the control booth. How you doing, my friend? Running the show behind the scenes.
Are you dressed
Coastal Grandma?
What did you learn? What did Philip learn?
I am dressed very Portland in hoodie and jeans. I learned from watching the chat, and I didn't know this, but I was watching the chat all the way up until the beginning of the show, and my favorite comment out of it was, Sean Penn is a bogus.
That was just a comment in our chat?
That was just a comment that came up in chat, and I was like, huh.
So. I've never heard of that as a noun. It's usually an adjective.
Sean Penn is a bogus.
Yep. So that's what I learned today. So
what is a bogus?
I don't know. Sean Penn is a bogus. I'm not.
It's like a tart or something.
It was flying by so fast I couldn't see who said it or save it.
Somebody fess up and please.
Sean Penn is a bogus.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
Not at all.
I've never heard that phrase before. But welcome. We've got a jam-packed show for you today. We're going to talk about two stories related to Ukraine. We're going to give you the very latest because this just happened late this afternoon. President Biden, we're going to tell you the unbelievable story out of the White House on weapons. And we're going to talk about the very latest on the Nazis in the Donbas region. Are the Nazis in the middle of a collapse? And we're going to go through some amazing facts that you're not going to see on CNN or MSNBC or Fox for that matter. Someone earlier today said, hey, why don't you bring up Fox when you talk about how the mainstream media never covers these stories?
Oh, we do. You just got to listen.
You got to listen. But also, by the way, Fox was the only one, Brett Baer was the only one to actually ask Vladimir Zelensky about the Azov battalion. It was a question about the Azov battalion, the Nazis in the Azov battalion, and he kind of sloughed it off and he says, that's just who they are. Yeah, they're just Nazis that run our military. That's just who they are. And then Fox then edited it out on their online version. So that question that Brett Baer asked was then later edited out. But it's one of the very few networks that would actually ask that question of Vladimir Zelensky. So we definitely give you both sides of the story here. We're not going to
sugarcoat. And we're going to tell you about Disney, what happens when you go woke and become a poor, unfortunate soul.
I get it.
Couldn't help myself with that one. And talk about the Moderna vaccine as well.
Yeah, some big news on Moderna and the Moderna vaccine coming up today with some troubling data on the side effects. We'll talk about that and more. But first, we want to tell you about the very latest and what's going on with President Biden and the White House. So late this afternoon, some major developments, guys, in the war in Ukraine. Earlier this afternoon, President Biden asked Congress for another $33 billion for Ukraine. $33 billion. I just want you, as you're sitting there struggling right now to pay your rent, to put food on the table, the prices of everything in your house have gone up, right? The gasoline prices have gone up. Your grocery store prices have gone up. Everything. We just asked for another $33 billion for Ukraine. I mean, just let that sink in for a second. It's an unbelievable number. And when you think about the President of the United States just last week or 2 weeks ago, authorizing $11 billion.
And if you just rewind the clock one full year, you remember that we were fighting about COVID relief at this time last year. And the infighting was all about whether or not the United States could afford it because they were about to, we were about to hit a debt ceiling, right? And whether or not these COVID relief programs would pay back. Why, you must ask yourself, is there no fighting about this money going out the door if there is no real assurance that we will make it back? Well, it's because war does make its money back.
Oh, war is so profitable, guys. I mean, look, you know, if there's one thing Philip last week asked me, he says, Clayton, do you have any agenda at all on this show? Like, and I have no agenda other than I'm absolutely anti-war. Absolutely anti-war. Anytime weapons are involved, nothing good comes of it. That's my agenda. So you can give me any kind of label you want. You can call me conservative. You can call me progressive. You can call me whatever the hell you want. I don't care. I'm strictly anti-war.
And so, this is an unrepresented voice on the mainstream media right now. In fact, a study in 2003, right after the United States started bombing the Middle East, showed that on mainstream cable news, less than 10% of pundits were anti-war. 90% of who they put on the TV for you to watch will tell you, oh yeah, we need to fight. Let's go fight. Do they tell you what those people's interests are in the fight? No. They might tell you those people who are pundits were former military advisor, whatever to whatever. Leave out the fact that they are currently on the board with Raytheon or Lockheed Martin. So there is a reason for us to all get riled up to go to war. And it's not because it's good for us.
So the White House facts. So again, if you're just joining us, Biden just asked for an additional $33 billion more in Ukraine on top of like the $11 billion last week. He says this is for like the next 5 months of them to fight. I mean, if you needed any more evidence, guys, that this is a long-term war, like this is a long-term proxy war, that this thing is not, I just tweeted this a few minutes ago before the show. Sometimes, you know, you can't remember, like, did I write this down in my notes or did I tweet it? Did I tweet that little nugget of wisdom?
Most of the time, I can't remember if I said something out loud, especially when I'm talking to my children. I'm like, did I say that out loud or did I just think it? And they're like, no, you said it. I'll get the shoes.
So I did actually tweet this, which is, if you needed any more evidence that this war, this is not going to end quickly. This is the entire modus operandi right now for the United States and NATO, which is to continue this long-term proxy war. And President Biden says 5 months, this will sustain Ukraine for another 5 months.
But okay, this is probably the fifth or sixth time I'm starting to lose track that we've opened our wallets, right? That we thought this would get them through. How do you calculate that? I mean, how do we know?
Well, how do they? I'm not exactly sure. I guess
Philip
we could base
trying
it.
To say something.
No, I'm going to let Phillips in a second here, Philip. But I was going to say that we know some bit of it because the $11.5 billion that we authorized 2 weeks ago, according to the White House, has already been depleted. So that's maybe how we know that this will get us through another 5 months. Go ahead, Philip. Sorry.
Well, my question is, so we've got like the $8 billion, and now we're asking for another $30 billion. So we're sending all these billions over there, not weapons, but actual like money. What are they buying and from where?
Some of it is quantified in weapons.
Yeah, almost, I would say about 80% of this money to Ukraine is in the form of weapons. The other 20% or so is in humanitarian aid. Humanitarian and, you want to know more? I actually have a sheet here. You want to see this?
Yes, I do.
The White House released this afternoon. So this is the $33 billion they're asking for. The White House then released a fact sheet on exactly what they want inside of this $33 billion, right? And one big chunk of it is going to go to counter Russian disinformation and propaganda narratives. Promote accountability for Russian human rights violation and support activists, journalists, and they're going to give money to independent media to defend freedom of expression.
That is crazy town.
I mean, just, I just want to, oh my God, I'm fired up.
So
like, they're
going
to give money to independent
gets a PR representative to travel with them.
Yeah.
Like Steve Jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to give, this is amazing, right? So because, think about this, right? They're going to send, requesting for Ukraine will be to support independent media because nothing screams independent like being directly funded by the U.S. government,
like
as part of
state
its information
government.
Warfare initiative. I mean, literally, they're going to, I cannot wait to see what independent media is all about. I can't wait to see like who gets this money. That sounds fun. It's like Elf, you know. It's like that sounds fun.
What's a Candygram? I want one.
I want one of those. It's who's already, the independent media that the White House is going to fund? Who are these people? That
well, it's obviously fun. Already independent because Ukraine already shut down all like opposing media sources they didn't like. So that's independent, right?
I guess. Yeah.
Well, add to that the fact that Raytheon said that the supply chain will put them behind in making the anti-aircraft Stinger missiles. So now, after Raytheon said that, senators are asking the president to invoke the Defense Production Act. What is that? It means that arms makers will be able to jump the line in the supply chain for materials they need to make weapons, right? This was an emergency act. It's supposed to be reserved for war, which supposedly we're not in, right? So let's say a home building company needs some materials and it has it on order. Well, this means that Raytheon or Lockheed can sort of jump the line and get those materials before the company that actually ordered it. So think about that from how it might affect us, right? We have shortages of supply chains. Let's see, microchips, all kinds of material, right, that are used to make cars. It's hard to buy cars these days. There's a shortage of housing. But we will have to get to the back of the line because our government has decided it's a priority to make weapons to send to Ukraine rather than for you to buy what it is you need to subsist.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so I should point out, you know, as we look deeper into what the White House wants to spend here, and as Glenn Greenwald points out, he tweeted just a short time ago, excellent journalist Glenn Greenwald, if you don't know who he is, of course, he is the one who broke the Edward Snowden story that the National Security Administration was spying on Americans, okay? That's just one of his many credentials. Glenn Greenwald, he tweets, now $33 billion more to fuel the war in Ukraine. Given the predictions and hopes of U.S. officials that this will last years, not months, it's hard to see any end to this cash drain to Raytheon and friends. And that's all independent of the escalation risks, which Americans benefit. What Americans do benefit from this? I mean, again, this is a great question. It is interesting also to read President Obama. If you want to kind of go back into the archives, I think I don't ever want this show to be I don't ever want any one of you watching to say that this show lacks nuance, right? The difference from the show that you're watching here and the reason that you subscribe to this show is that what you don't get on cable news, what you don't get in the mainstream media is you don't get nuance, right? They have 3 minutes to do a segment. They get three questions and then they have to go to commercial break so you can get a prostate pill.
Yes.
Commercial. I want to make sure that we have nuance in this show because it's not black and white and there's a lot of nuance to this. And so I think it's instructive to go back to 2016. President Biden's boss then was President Obama at the end of 2016 before he was leaving office, right? And it is interesting to read President Obama's position on Ukraine back then in the final year of his presidency, how much it deviates from President Biden's. Here's an interview that President Obama did with Jeffrey Goldberg at the time. Let me pull up this quote. This was an interview. Obama's theory here is simple, Goldberg writes. Ukraine is a core Russian interest, but not an American interest. So Russia will always be able to maintain escalatory dominance here. So we understood that. We've all long understood that it's their neighbor. Like that's like someone saying that we would have that someone would have a greater ability for us to attack Canada than the United States would. Right. It's right there on our border. It's always going to be able for the United States to escalate in Canada than any other country.
Sure.
Right. Maybe somebody in the Northern Territory somewhere, if they've got a bug in their bonnet, wanted to come down and see. I don't know. Anyway, my point is that it's always going to be in their interest rather than the United States. So President Obama was asked and he said, the fact that Ukraine, which is a non-NATO country, is going to be vulnerable to military domination by Russia no matter what we do, Obama said. I asked Obama whether his position on Ukraine was realistic or fatalistic. Well, it's realistic, he said, but this is an example of where we have to be very clear about what our core interests are and what we are willing to do for war or what we are willing to go to war for. Now, if there is somebody in this town that would claim that we would consider going to war with Russia over Crimea and eastern Ukraine, they should speak up now and be very clear about it. That was President Obama in 2016.
Find that very clear. It's very we reserve the right to go to war if we feel like it, and we might always feel like it, maybe.
I don't know. The way I read it, the way that it came across to me is that no, like this is not in the United States' interest to go to a war with Russia over Crimea or Eastern
Ukraine.
But
he leaves
Ukraine.
The door open like, but I can be convinced if someone in this town wants to tell me.
If there was a propaganda arm that could tell me that there's all sorts of genocide going on, that the Ukrainians are killing innocent civilians, then perhaps I could be, if a lot of liberals start putting up Ukrainian flags on their front porches across the United States, I might be convinced of this.
He also used the word, like the term that, like, the reason for going to war could be ambiguous. That I don't like that at all. like,
glad you picked up on that.
Like, wait, I saw that and I was like, wait a minute. No, I'd actually prefer to know why. They're like, yeah, well, you know, they kind of did something. We're doing it. We're doing it.
Yeah, we don't ever really want people to know about why we go, you know, why we go to war. We have a story coming up a little bit later about Biden's new disinformation department, which is going to be rolling out as part of the Department of Homeland Security. We'll get to that, which is part of this ambiguity. But of course, long term, this isn't about Russia, guys. This is about, it's always about China. It's always about China. It's always about making sure that China is somehow involved in this. Today, we got further confirmation of that. This afternoon, the UK foreign minister just declared the need for a global NATO. Look at this. This was from the UK Foreign Office this afternoon. Quote, we need a global NATO. By that, I don't mean extending the membership to those from other regions. I mean that NATO must have a global outlook ready to tackle global threats. We need to preempt threats in the Indo-Pacific region, working with our allies like Japan and Australia to ensure the Pacific is protected. We must ensure that democracies like Taiwan are able to defend themselves. So again, this has always been about China, not Russia. And of course, this is where it's all leading very, very, very soon.
Yes, indeed. All right. Before we move on to the next.
What? No, I want
to. Do you?
Yeah.
No?
Yes, I want to roll. I'm on a roll, baby.
You want to keep going?
Yes.
Okay, you don't want a show sponsor right now.
No, I don't. I want to keep rolling.
Okay. Tell me what else you think of that, Clayton.
All right. I want to roll here. And by the way, I did see here in the chat, I did see that when what someone told me earlier today was that when you do smash the like button during a live stream, it pushes it out to those other people who should see this content. And as I mentioned before, YouTube has blocked us and banned us and censored us twice now for a week long when we've covered different stories about the vaccine, and other stories have been taken down and censored here on our channel. So please smash the like button. It pushes it out in the algorithm to other people who need to see this information, who are interested in it. Okay. All right. Let's talk about this, shall we? Well, the Western media story about Eastern Ukraine is starting to collapse as journalists begin to uncover the truth there. The mass graves story in Mariupol is fake. The story at the maternity ward has new facts that show it was staged. The story about the theater being attacked also falling apart thanks to some amazing boots-on-the-ground journalism. We'll get there in a second, but first, I want to show you some new video that you will not see on your billionaire-funded local news stations or anywhere else. This is newly released video of women and families waving and blessing as soldiers drive by. Now, these are Russian soldiers, okay, as they liberate towns in eastern Ukraine. Now, CNN and MSNBC wish this video were fake. It's not, but they won't show it to you. How many people watching right now have seen this video on your local news stations or on CNN or MSNBC or Fox or anywhere else? These are women, families waving and blessing. Look at this. Russian soldiers as they move into different towns in eastern Ukraine to liberate these areas. Now, we're going to get into the details of this because it's complicated and it's nuanced, but I wanted you to see it. Now, why would these people be waving and blessing these Russian soldiers as they come into their towns? There's a story here. There's a big story, and it's been covered up and hidden from you. It's a story that all of these people know very well, but you don't because your Western media has kept it from you. Or if you're watching this show, chances are you've at least studied great reporters like Patrick Lancaster and others, so you're getting this information. But largely, it's being kept from you. Now, if you knew the story when you wouldn't be hanging out, you know, if you knew the story ahead of time, and maybe your neighbors probably wouldn't be hanging a Ukrainian flag on, you know, their St. Louis doorstep. And if you knew this story, you certainly wouldn't be using your tax dollars to fund military industrial complex equipment. That's why they lie to you, right? It's part of this propaganda so that they can continue to fund this proxy war. So now that certain areas have been liberated of Nazis, the Russian army has been setting up humanitarian centers to deliver and hand out food and water, protein specifically, water, and even chocolate to the kids. Now, this is a journalist. Her name is Ava Bartlett. She is Canadian. She's a journalist who's covered Syria. She's in eastern Ukraine covering the removal of the Azov Nazi battalion. But before the humanitarian aid arrived, as a bloody war in this region. So to listen to the Russian government mission was a denazification of Ukraine. Well, it seems exactly that's what's been unfolding, much to the chagrin of the Western media. They would love for you to believe that Russians are attacking all sorts of civilian targets on purpose. But thanks to these brave journalists on the ground, that's not true. In fact, it's the opposite. So here is Ava Bartlett. She's a journalist in this region covering some of the humanitarian areas that have popped up. Watch this.
Yes, in several parts of the areas that were controlled by the Ukrainian Nazi battalions, the Russian army is now distributing humanitarian assistance. This particular town was hit by these battalions and destroyed a factory, destroyed school, and there is a severe crisis going on here. And to talk about this, I have a guest. She's an American-Canadian journalist living in Russia, Ava Bartlett. Ava, what's the humanitarian situation in the newly liberated areas of the Donbas?
Well, I think as people will see behind us, people are lining up for the supplies, which are actually quite sufficient, it seems. And they're coming in batches to collect supplies. I would note that this is similar to what we saw in Syria once areas were liberated of terrorists that had occupied these areas and starved the civilians. Once the areas were liberated, humanitarian corridors, well, before they were liberated, humanitarian corridors were set up. Civilians fled to secure areas, and then they were given humanitarian aid.
And is this issue really covered by the mainstream media in the West?
Absolutely not. And it might seem strange, but I've been taking photos of the actual aid packages, what goes into the boxes or the bags, because I know the predictable Western response will be, well, they're empty or something like that. But they contain a variety of proteins, vegetable in tins, chocolate even, water, obviously. And, you know, it's not going to be reported on in Western media. Or they will say this is just a stage, you know, that these are just actors or this is just happening in one region. But we've seen a few regions already, and we've only been here for a couple of days.
Interesting, right?
Wow.
Stories you will not... How many of you right now hit that like button if you would like to see more of this type of news coverage?
Yeah.
Because chances are you're not going
to see that. Twitter profile at Ava K. Bartlett, her Twitter profile byline is, I go to the places I write about. So this is actual, like, she's trying to let you know what's actually happening because she is telling you what we are not allowed to see.
Unlike the New York Times, which should say, we don't go to the places we write about.
Right. We do a strong Google search.
Yeah. We report from afar. So to listen to Russian government missions, when they said at the outset, why were they going into Ukraine? Why was Russia going into Ukraine? Why did Putin say this? Why did their foreign office say this? Why did their Ministry of Defense say this? All of it, every member of the Russian, you know, the Russian Federation said this was the denazification of Ukraine. Well, the Western media laughed at that. Like, there's no Nazis there, even though we've covered them for years and now we're hiding it. Well, that seems to be exactly what's been unfolding. Again, much to the chagrin of Western media. They would love you to believe that Russians are attacking all sorts of civilian targets on purpose. Thanks to brave journalists, though, on the ground, that's not true. In fact, the opposite is true. Let's look more deeply now at the Battle of Mariupol. Listen to the people of Mariupol describe who did this to their city and who kept them hidden in basements. Listen.
Well, the first feeling here is not a thought. It's just an emotion. It's an anguish so far that it still makes me cry. And I have come here on purpose. I'm not a government man. I'm a producer, a poet, a sculptor, a designer. Let's talk about Russia. This is the territory of Russia. Russians in this territory don't want to live as the United States dictates. That's the whole conflict. All the propaganda is American. All this was done by the Azov regime, shooting people on purpose, setting people on fire on purpose.
I just want to say in our chat, Deadless Guns says, I just want to point out that there are more people watching this show right now live than are on ABC News.
Oh.
I get chills thinking about that. There are so many people here who want the truth about these stories, and we're going to continue to bring it to you. That man we just saw was a poet. He's a sculptor. He's in that region, and he says the Nazis were responsible for what happened here. This man that we're going to see describes his time during the last few months when these Ukrainian Nazi soldiers broke into his house, beat him in the face with the butt of their gun, and he still has headaches to this day. They smashed in his face, stole his food. These are the Nazis that broke into his house, he says. Listen to this man.
We were in the house when the Ukrainian soldiers arrived, and they started beating me, provoking me right away. And they took things, they took cigarettes, they took food. They beat me on the floor. I still have a headache. Why all this? I don't know.
I don't know. Alejandro Kirk is an amazing journalist. He's a journalist for Telesir TV, one of the few news organizations covering this story. He's been in Mariupol now four different times at length, and he explains that, and what's interesting about going there four times is that he's seen a progression of the people in Mariupol and in other cities in eastern Ukraine. And he explains that the people there fear these Nazi spies, that if they speak on camera, they will be killed. So when he was interviewing these individuals that were trapped in the basements, that were being held against their will, they would basically wait until the cameras were turned off before telling them the truth of the Ukrainian Nazi occupation. Listen to what they say now about why, and he explains how they fear these Nazi spies because their friends have gone missing.
The People's Republic of Donetsk. These people are have been the subject of many suffering in the last 3 weeks. Fierce combats have been taking place in this town. Many buildings are destroyed or burned by the combat. They were used as a human shield by the Ukrainian forces and also by the Nazi battalions that were operating here. For the last 8 years, these people did not have the right to their own language. For 8 years, these people under Ukrainian rule were second-class citizens for being ethnic Russians. And now they are afraid. And why they are afraid? Because it is suspected that many Ukrainian spies, many Ukrainian infiltrators are among them, again, threatening their lives. And that's why when we speak to them, they say one thing on camera and they say a whole different story out of camera.
And when they do speak, they tell amazing stories of these Nazis using women and children as human shields because they are cowards.
Angel Baby Cards in the chat makes a good point. How do we know the translations are appropriate? Because we don't speak Russian. And so we are relying on these news organizations to translate it appropriately. But also, if any of you speak Ukrainian or Russian, please bring in.
Yeah, and I've actually heard from quite a few of you on this, and with even more structure on some of the quotes that we play here. I don't speak Russian. I don't speak Ukrainian. I'm relying on a Latin American who speaks Russian, who is in this region, an American Canadian journalist, other journalists who are like Patrick Lancaster and others who are brave and who are in this region who do speak the language and do the translations. And then, of course, you can actually use, and I use this, you can actually use different translation tools, which I use on my computer, on my Mac. They're very, very powerful translation tools. They're not perfect, but you will want to rely on these journalists to get accurate representation of that. But when you see a man's face beaten in, kind of tells the tale, right? That's also, there's things you can get without words, too.
Yes, clearly.
Right? And so these people are telling amazing stories, right? Using women and children as human shields. That's what they're doing because they are cowards. Now, Maxim Gargoff is a reporter who specializes in covering crimes against humanity. Imagine that's your job as a reporter. Like, he goes to regions of the world and uncovers these things that are hidden. He covers crimes against humanity. And he says what the Nazis in Ukraine are doing is textbook. Listen to Maxim Gargov here in the eastern part of Ukraine.
They shoot people. They occupy buildings, civilian buildings. They occupy schools, hospitals. They use them as a place for artillery, for tanks. This is a special technique. They hiding near the civil building. They shoot from there and then goes somewhere else. Or, for example, they occupy the floor or apartments and organize the place to fire people.
What cowards.
They just organize their position there.
Little cowards.
And the people was from the left, from right, or upstairs or downstairs.
Yeah, so they fire and then they run. They're little weasels, aren't they? Right? Like, they're there and then they know that they're going to be fired back upon, right? They know that they're going to be attacked because they're using these schools. They are using these places on purpose as human shields. It's absolutely disgusting. And you can actually listen to Alejandro Kirk explaining in more detail, another journalist, how these Nazi Ukrainian soldiers are using civilians as human shields. Listen to this.
On the following visits, the last one was last week, there is more self-confidence and people speak more about what happened. And the story is always the same, not only in Mariupol. It's also the same in Valna Baja, in Stila, in Lugansk, even in the neighborhoods here, right here in Donetsk, that the bombing... Well, it's different here in Donetsk, but in those areas where the Azov battalion were, they would occupy one floor of the residential building. Then they would put the people on the other floor in the next apartment and establish fire points from there. Mortars, machine guns, but also in the courtyards, they would install tanks, artillery or mortars, so that they were using effectively them as human shields. And everybody says that. I mean, I found nobody who would say, no, they left us alone, they allowed us to go, they did not want to put us on the fire line. I never found anyone saying that. And the more and more you dig into it, the more the truth is coming out that these people were actually doing that which is forbidden by the Geneva Convention. So
what weaponry, again, are they using? Well, we reported it at the top of the show. It's the United States that seems hellbent on arming whoever is on the side of Ukraine and anti-Russia.
Yeah, and we've covered, you know, someone said in the chat yesterday and asked this question, they said, you mean to tell me that the United States has armed these individuals? And I'm not telling you this. The facts are, the Gray Zone has already reported this, that yes, in fact, they have United States weapons in their hands. That's indisputable. And
yes,
that has been proven by journalists who've been covering that region. So they, yes, whether or not they're in, you know, handed to them, like, you know, here you go, it doesn't matter. We're sending those weapons. And as CNN has uncovered, we don't even know where these weapons go. They go into a black hole. And guess what? Guess where they turn up? They turn up in the hands of these guys.
Which the Biden administration has deemed an acceptable risk. Mm-hmm. We know that's going to happen. We're sending them anyway. A government official told that to CNN.
Well, we're learning more about the horrific occupation of this region by the Nazis and how they treated the ethnic Russians in this area over the past 8 years. Of course, we've been reporting on this show how a genocide has been unfolding for the last 8 years, ever since the Maidan coup, and ever since the United States installed a puppet government in Ukraine. The eastern region of Ukraine has been under constant attack, and the people have been treated as second-class citizens, as you just heard from Alejandro Kirk's reporting. We've been reporting that, though, for weeks, so this is nothing new, right? They've been beaten, they've been harassed, they've been arrested and killed. And most of the ethnic Russians in this region, by the way, speak Russian. They would rather learn Russian in school and, you know, Ukrainian on the side, right? That's what they would do in school. But when the Nazis took over, they were forbidden from speaking Russian. And it was outlawed at their schools.
Well, actually, it was the Zelensky regime that when the election was overturned in 2000, mm-hmm. or the military coup happened in 2014, and the new government was installed, it actually was supposedly the democratic, you know, upstanding regime that outlawed a language that was used in a major part of the country.
Right. Yeah. So now that they have been liberated by Russian forces, they can actually speak Russian again in their schools. In fact, in Mariupol, a school has now reopened and churches have reopened. They actually had Easter services, if you can believe that, after the hell they went through. Listen to one mom describe having to relearn how to speak with her children after 2 years of Nazi ruling in this part of the country and where they've been forbidden from actually speaking Russian.
Parents defended the Russian language for a long time, but they kept translating it into Ukrainian for their children. It was difficult to speak Russian at home, and it was difficult to speak Ukrainian at school. Now we have to retrain ourselves because for 2 years we have been speaking Ukrainian. The children are learning now. It'll be a little bit difficult, and they speak Russian at home.
So how many of you know about this, okay? How many of you know about this? I know many of you probably watch Fox, or some of you maybe watch CNN or MSNBC, but how many of you are actually informed about what's actually happening there, the nuance of this? You know, let me know in the chat. I'd love to hear this. One story that the Western media ran with was another fabricated story about the mass graves in Mariupol. The idea that Russians came in and killed thousands of civilians and then dumped them into a grave, right? We heard the story. Well, just like the other stories, this has been disproven by multiple journalists who visited the site of the so-called grave and found that it's actually a cemetery that's been there for years. There are a few hundred somewhat new graves in the cemetery, next to the cemetery, but all of them are marked with the names and the ages, and most of them are elderly. Now, we were told in the press, you heard these stories, right? There's 10,000 bodies.
Yes.
We heard this story. There's 10,000.
That had been there for 3 weeks.
Yeah, they were there. They're new. There's 10,000 of them. They're there. They're new. And they're nameless civilians that were just bombed and killed, right? Well, that's not true. In fact, we were told these 10,000 bodies had no names, unidentifiable. That's not true. But you know what is true is that when the Nazis invaded the region in a number of years ago, thousands of people went missing. I wonder where they went. In fact, 2 years ago, over 1,000 people just in this city alone went missing. What happened to them? Well, I think we have some idea of it now. Here's Alejandro Kirk talking about these mass graves that he visited.
Investigating war crimes and human rights violations for the last 8 years in the Donbass area. And there are over 1,000 disappeared people in Mariupol in the period before the military operation. So this is not a mass grave. Nobody's denying the amount of people who have died, but this is not a mass grave of unidentified people, and much, you know, it's impossible that they are 9,000. So what amazes me and everybody here is that the easy way by which the Western media take these rumors, this misinformation as truth. They broadcast it without any verification of facts.
Yeah. They broadcast it without any verification of facts.
That's what don't worry. The United States government's coming with
some... Oh, yeah. We got our disinformation department ready to be lined up.
So we'll get the facts.
So what about that pesky story about the maternity ward? Remember that story? Remember how the Russians attacked a maternity ward while women were giving birth? They're literally pushing babies out, and the Russians were dropping bombs from aircraft. We heard that there was an aerial raid that attacked this maternity ward. Yeah, that story, also total garbage. Max Blumenthal from The Gray Zone has done some excellent reporting on this. Here's Max Blumenthal. And by the way, Max is an amazing journalist, you should follow him and you should listen to what he says. And here he is talking about his investigation into this maternity ward BS story.
However, there were so many just strange details that compelled me to publish an investigation on this incident, down to the fact that many of the evacuees said that the Azov battalion, which controlled that theater and which was holding civilians basically hostage in the basement, had actually detonated an explosive charge to implicate Russia. that there was no evidence of deaths there, that all evacuations had taken place a day before the supposed explosion. And then we had photographic evidence showing that all vehicles were removed from the site prior to the explosion, whoever.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at those vehicle photos, it's pretty amazing because it's like, hey, we know we're about to blow this thing up, right? So we don't want to damage our only vehicles. So we remove all of
there
the vehicles.
There is a supply chain.
Yeah, there's a supply chain crunch. So we remove all of our vehicles. Then we detonate the bomb inside of the building. And the women who have then come forward, of course, and talked about this have said, no, there was no air. There was no bombing from the air. And as Alejandro Kirk points out, he's covered many, many of these airstrikes. There's always a crater. I mean, if you hit a car with a bomb, guess what? There's a crater there. It doesn't just disappear. The streets outside the maternity ward are perfect, by the way. So there was no air raid. There was no air attack. But the Western media was happy to go on about it, right? They were happy to plaster it all over the front pages and show these pictures, right?
Yes, we were all given that in many photographic forms, many headlines. Yes.
Yeah, and the AP ran with it first and then, of course, never issued any kind of correction or any update, but that's what they do. And thanks to the brave journalists, we're getting a clearer picture of the truth in this region. So you can thank all of these brave journalists and thank you for sharing this show out with your friends. Share this out with your family. Smash that like button because when you do, and it shares it out to people that need to see this information because we've been lied to. And it's really, really troubling. And we're going further now. I mean, we are absolutely going further into this because now we're going to have some more stories here on the show. We're going to talk about, as the White House is now ramping up an additional $33 billion to funnel into these guys. But it looks like with these humanitarian moves in this region, and it looks like the clearing out of these Nazis in the eastern part of Ukraine, that they're setting up a Russian government in this region again. The mayor of Mariupol setting up saying, you know, we've got the school open. We're getting the churches open. They're trying to get humanitarian centers open and up and running and get life somewhat back to normal again.
Which may be what Russia was after in the first place. But most of the headlines that we see in Western media are that Russia is continuing to lose. But if we continue to send weaponry, that will become an eventuality. So we're going to keep doing that.
Yeah. So we just hit 10,000 live viewers. Hey. This is an amazing moment. And I just want to say thank you to all of you who are smashing that like button and sharing this. We're able to do this show. We spent a lot of time putting this show together for you. We are journalists. I spent 20 years as a news anchor and reporter. I worked for Fox News for 10 years. I was a journalist for Fox News. Natalie, a reporter and an anchor for CBS. We were in the mainstream media. We understand.
And NBC. Yes.
We understand how these things work. So we're not just speaking from the hip here. Okay, we were in these organizations.
Yes, and we are lifelong academics and learners. We read everything we can get our hands on. We are also married, so if you think that our interaction is a bit familiar, that's okay.
That's right.
He put a ring on it. But first, before we move on, I'd like to tell you about our show sponsor over at Scoremaster. The 3-week rule may be the best financial advice ever. So what is the 3-week rule? Wait 3 weeks to buy that new car, 3 weeks to refi your home mortgage, and wait 3 weeks to finance any major purchase. Why 3 weeks? Because that's how fast the average Scoremaster user takes to boost his or her credit on average of 61 points. And look, 61 points added to your credit score can save you tens of thousands on everything that you can finance. Scoremaster technology was developed by credit data scientists to boost your credit score higher and faster than you thought possible. Scoremaster is so easy, it takes about a minute to get started, and you don't have to wait months for your best credit score. So try Scoremaster for free and see how many points you can add to your credit score. Go to scoremaster.com/redacted. That's scoremaster.com/redacted. One more time, scoremaster.com/redacted.
All right. Our thanks to Scoremaster for that. All right. So let's talk about this. Some stories sound fake. I mean, they really sound fake when you like read them for the first time. Like, this can't be real. This has to be an April Fool's Day joke, right? And it's like it's part of some Hollywood movie or some sort of script. No, they're actually real. The White House has just announced a brand new governance board underneath the Department of Homeland Security, which is set up to fight misinformation. It's called the Disinformation Governance Board. You can't make this shit up. Literally sounds fake.
Yes, it does. And they've decided to hire someone who is good on camera, someone who has a good Twitter presence, and someone who will tell you when what you are seeing is manipulative, right? So it's almost like a physician heal thyself type thing. And I have decided, the more I think about the use of the term disinformation, the more I realize that it is the new fake news, right? It is the, you don't know for yourself. You're seeing things that we don't like you to see. So what we're going to do is tell you that we need to protect you from disinformation. It's very condescending, I want to say. When someone tells you that's disinformation or uses that term, I feel like it is implying that you can't think for yourself. And I'm going to turn your head exactly where I want it to be turned.
Yeah. Well, the Department of Homeland Security is setting up this new board to counter misinformation related to Homeland Security, and they're going to focus specifically on Russia. So this is like, so get this. The Biden administration is going to give you, is going to be on the lookout to make sure that you're protected against disinformation and misinformation. Like the story we just talked about in the maternity ward in Ukraine, which has now been debunked. And the Associated Press ran with that story. Front page, they were the ones to push it, right? The Associated Press. I wonder if the Biden administration and this new disinformation department will step up and slam the Associated Press or any other arm of the Biden administration or corporate Washington. But we did get a glimpse of this on Wednesday afternoon. DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas was testifying before a House panel when he was asked questions about what they were planning to do there. And he said, you know, we've already got this under control. Like, we are ready. We're stepping up. We're going to make sure that this new governance board is underneath the Department of Homeland Security. We've got the money ready to go. We're ready to set this up. So we're going to crank this puppy out. Here was that, a little bit of that. It's a little quiet, so I don't know if we hear the audio here.
To our homeland is mis- and disinformation. You noted that it's a concern of yours at the border with human smuggling organizations peddling misinformation to exploit vulnerable migrants for profit. Can you share what steps you've taken and what future plans you have to address Spanish language mis- and disinformation through department-wide approach?
Congresswoman, we have a number of different offices engaged in this critical effort. Of course, our Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency has an entire effort focused on election security,
right,
as part of its mission set. Our Office of Policy, Office of Planning, Policy, and Strategy, is a leading effort. Our Undersecretary for Policy, Rob Silvers, is co-chair with our Principal Deputy General Counsel, Jennifer Daskal, in leading a just recently constituted misinformation, disinformation governance board. So we're bringing, the goal is to bring the resources of the department together to address this threat. I just read.
Great. So we're going to bring them all together. So who's going to head up this new governance board? Well, here she is. She let the cat out of the bag. Nina Jankowicz, right? And by the way, look at her. She's got a Ukrainian flag.
Okay.
That's her Twitter avatar.
Which is fine. We all can stand for people of any ethnicity, right? But
sure,
this is telling you exactly the narrative that she will be supporting, whether or not the Ukrainian flag represents a military that may be infiltrated by Nazis, she still is willing to support it, right? And so therefore, she's the one who will be telling us what is true and what is not.
Yeah, she says, cat's out of the bag. Here's what I've been up to the past 2 months and what I've been, and that's why I've been a little quiet on here. Honored to be serving in the Biden administration's Department of Homeland Security and helping shape our counter disinformation efforts. Great. Now, so she's the head of this disinformation board. She, we learned, has actively advised the Ukrainian government, the purveyors of misinformation and disinformation. Yeah, that's right. Her name is Nina Jankowicz. She was previously a Disinformation Wilson Center
fellow.
That's right. Which advised Ukrainian public policy. So she literally advising the Ukrainian government, the purveyors right now of misinformation and disinformation. Here's, by the way, what she said back in 2020 about the Hunter Biden laptop story. She has some things to say about this laptop in 2020. Back on the laptop from hell, Apparently, Biden notes 50 former NATSEC officials and 5 former CIA heads that believe the laptop is a Russian influence operation. Trump says Russia, Russia, Russia.
Now, she has since in the last 24 hours clarified that tweet and said that, well, I was live tweeting. I was covering basically that story as it unfolded. But
misinformation, she was covering it with misinformation.
Right.
Live.
Yeah.
Great, great. So she was live. Here's what I can't stand about. Like, the reason I love, like, taking your time on a story and allowing the facts to present themselves is that you don't have to rush to get something out. Where's the rush? So she's live. She's like, that's my excuse, is that I was live. So I was therefore able to spread misinformation.
Well, okay. But you're live reporting that someone else is saying, but you're also picking up their narrative and running with it, right? Mm-hmm. Without asking yourself, okay, but is that convenient for that person to say something? Maybe I should qualify this if I am in fact live covering it as a reporter. Also, she has retweeted it and said, I was just live tweeting you guys, which I then say, okay, but where is your correction since that story has been validated?
Right.
Then maybe you can tell us, I know that that was not true, right? Now, in her great book, This Is How They Tell Me the World Ends, Nicole Perlroth, who is a New York Times reporter and cybersecurity expert, talks about how the United States intelligence has long since been following Russia's efforts to influence Americans through information, right? And when it started in the last election, it really didn't have much to do with misinformation. It had to do with real information and maybe the highlighting thereof. Security had never said, the United States government never said, this is misinformation, but it was perversion of information in order to put Hillary Clinton in a negative light. That absolutely was used, but the intelligence never said that it was lies. But now they are trying to let us know that what Russia is doing is actually lying to us. So this catchphrase, when you hear it, misinformation, disinformation, I feel like our antennas should go up and we should say, wait, I'm not about to let you tell me what information is true or not. I'm going to think for myself.
She tweeted this back in January. Considering the long-term damage these lies do to our democracy, I'm dismayed about this decision. She was talking about how Twitter decided that it was going to quit taking action against the lies about the 2020 election anymore. Like, that's, they're done. Like, now it's been 2 years, right? I'm dismayed about this decision. I say this about foreign disinformation, and it applies to domestic disinformation too. Elections aren't an endpoint, they're an inflection point. Policies need to reflect that. So all for censorship, absolutely. Making sure that what Twitter does is her business, and making sure that we are censoring certain Americans. So that's your new, here you go. Here's your new head of the Defense Department, or the Department of Homeland Security's Disinformation Governance Board. She got her official photo taken, by the way.
And do you think that this is part of the budget? Her employment is part of this budget you spoke about earlier?
Yeah, I mean, this is the White House asking for $33 billion today, right?
Because she says she's been on this job for 2 months. So clearly that we were already paying her as taxpayers,
right,
to tell us what's fake news and what's not.
Right. So no, this new independent media piece, these propaganda narratives, that's totally
different. New.
Like, that's new money.
New
that
we're people just like her.
Exactly.
Got it.
So excited about our new governance board. I love this tweet. It says they have a really funny way of spelling Department of Censorship.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Jerry Dunleavy says it best. If someone claims to be a professional disinformation expert, the chances that they loved the Steele dossier and or baselessly claimed the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation are close to 100%.
That they loved it?
Yeah. Chances are that they loved it. And that's exactly what we found out from her, right?
Right. I mean, she should be saying that tweet was prime example of disinformation. So I am showing you what not to do.
Right.
And then we'd all be like, oh, okay, great.
Right. She's like, I fell for it. Right.
And I kind of feel like I expect more out of my Ministry of Truth, or I guess they're not going to call it that, but, you know,
the Ministry of Truth.
We all know what it is. We all read the book. I would expect them to at least have their disinformation, like, that they didn't have to go back and change it, you know. But
right.
what is interesting to me about this, though, is so if they're going to tech companies and having tech companies like censor people on behalf of the government, that's still not a breach of the First Amendment. It sucks, but it's not a breach of the First Amendment. But if the government themselves starts censoring information, how is that not a very clear violation of freedom of speech? Because that is retribution by the government, which is exactly what the First Amendment is about.
Yeah, and in many ways, you know, you could argue that the FCC already does that anyway, right? I mean, they tell you what you can and cannot say on broadcast television.
Yes.
You will get a fine if you say certain things on
FCC. But broadcast networks are supposed to give equal time to both sides of a political spectrum. The problem is during war, we don't have two sides. We only have one side, which is go to war. Right. And so if this were an election, then they are supposed to give equal airtime to, say, the Democratic and Republican candidate.
But isn't that hilarious, too? They don't even like make real space for any third party candidates. It's Republican, Democrat. Forget, you know, in the United States, we cannot allow, because these corporate parties, both Republicans and Democrats, run the show and they are both corrupt. And they are part of one corrupt system. We can't even allow a third party voice in this
right.
to give them equal airtime for
but
any
it's, of this. But it's interesting to think that there. I mean, information has always been weaponized since the dawn of time, since there were political parties, since there was motivation to do it. So, but it was always left up to the policy of truth, right? To the open spectrum of information for the truth to come out, but we are no longer trusted with it in the internet age. It's no, so we are told it's misinformation only if it's a narrative that powerful people don't like.
Right. Go ahead and smash that like button if you will. Please share this with friends. By smashing that like button if you haven't already done so. It pushes it out to other people, and really it helps to share the show with people that need to learn this information. So thank you so much for sharing this information. All right, we've got more news we're going to get to here. We're going to talk about Disney going woke and perhaps will they go broke. We're also going to talk about the latest on Moderna's vaccine. This unbelievable push today from Moderna, and the corporate media is just super happy doing backflips about it. You won't believe it, and we will tell you all about that coming up in just a moment. So what is on your mind?
All right. I want to talk about this Disney story because it does seem like Disney is retreating from this fight that it picked in Florida like a wicked witch at the end of a princess movie. Now, this is a good lesson for us all that woke capitalism is a farce and a distraction, and I want to explain why. So the issue began when Florida passed the Parental Rights Education Bill. It's been dubbed the Don't Say Gay Bill, although I think that is very reductive, and yeah. I'm pretty sure it's an anti-campaign slogan that opponents came up with to reduce the bill to nothing that we can maturely debate. But I want to try and maturely debate it here. So take a deep breath. Now, of course, we all need to be able to say the word gay. That's not really the issue. So let's look at what opponents of the bill have an issue with. And let's look at how they've dragged Disney into this and how Disney got burned by their dragon. And I can't help all the Disney puns here. I just refuse to stop myself. So one portion of the bill, this right here, talks about how classroom instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity is prohibited from kindergarten until third grade. If this happens, a parent can sue a school district. Sexual and gender instruction can be, of course, widely interpreted in this case. So what if a teacher talks about little Jenny's two daddies? What if a gay teacher mentions anything about their partner? But that's only one provision of the bill, provision 7. The rest of the bill provides that schools cannot keep children's medical records or medical procedures from parents, nor can they come up with policies to keep things from parents. So where does this come from? How, you may ask, can a school keep students' medical concerns from a parent? I get a call every time the school nurse notices a bump on one of my kids or a scrape or a cough. So what is this about, right? It comes as a reaction to certain states that do allow these things. This is about gay and transgender students. Currently, there are bills that allow schools to keep kids' sexuality and gender from parents. In some schools, cis minors can leave school for hormone treatments without parents' permission.
What?
That is, to help their bodies stop puberty and change genders without the parent being notified. This is allowed in Southern California.
Move out of California.
So in California, parents can opt out of sexual education if they want to, but the legislature there exempted all materials related to gender identity, gender expression, and sexual orientation from the opt-out, meaning parents cannot opt out of this type of instruction. The schools will teach it to them no matter what you, the parents, say. New York, New Jersey, Colorado, Illinois, Northern Virginia, and Oregon have all done similar things in school legislation. In Oregon, transgender hormones and surgery is even covered by Medicare, and that includes for young adolescents that run away from home. How can this be, right? You wonder. It came from legislation in Obamacare, or the Affordable Care Act, which allowed young women to access birth control without parental consent. So since birth control is a hormone, much like transitioning medicine, it is similarly applied. So I ask you, should children younger than 18 be able to take hormones to block their puberty and transition genders while they're in school and keeping it from their parents? The argument in favor of this is this: some children will be harmed by unsupportive parents or will harm themselves if their parents stop them. The Florida bill, though, has a provision for this. It says that if a school thinks that a child will be harmed, it can take alternative routes and not inform the parents, but instead get help from the authorities. Okay. Puberty blockers are not a neutral act, and a child should have guidance beyond the public school system if they want to take them. Puberty blockers stop brain development, suppress normal bone density development, increase risk of osteoporosis, can reduce sexual function and IQ development. The puberty blocker most used for teens is this here we have on the screen called Lupron. Lupron is FDA approved to stop what's called precocious puberty, like if your four-year-old starts getting a beard or boobs. It is not FDA approved to halt normal puberty, and there are no studies to show that it is safe for children and adolescents. So look, I get it. Sexual dysphoria is agony in children, and humans have a history of making it harder for them. But schools are making laws to give them medicine that could hurt their bodies without parental support. This can hurt them. In California, the school district can help make a young girl sterile without telling her parents. The school is allowed to go as far as to send home all documents in the student's birth assigned name, but use the student's transitioned name in the classroom and school in order to purposely deceive and hide this from parents. So you can see why some states like Florida might think to do the opposite. Is the Florida bill well written? Maybe not. When litigation inevitably starts up over someone actually saying gay in the classroom, we'll see what the courts say. But the legislation has passed because elected officials support it, and I don't personally think it's completely misguided, having read it. So you can see why this is a tricky bill, and reducing it to don't say gay helps deflect all of these other important issues. So when people who support gay rights hear about this law without any nuance that I just discussed, they sought out companies to help strike down the law, like Disney. Originally, Disney wanted nothing to do with this because why should Disney tell states what to teach in the classroom? But Disney has a large presence in Florida with Walt Disney World, and Disney fans and employees began leaning on Disney to stop this bill. I think this is an asinine way to think. A company with a lot of power and money in a state should exert more influence than elected chosen officials. So think about it. Elected officials are supposed to represent voters. Voters are supposed to be ranked equally. But woke people are asking a company to have more influence than voters because they are wealthy. Isn't that the opposite of what we're supposed to want? Shouldn't we not want a company to have more power than people? Initially, Disney was silent about this until the woke mob turned its magic wand on the mouse with their boycotts and hashtags. So in late March, Disney released this statement saying that the bill should never have passed. Do you see this one right there? They said this bill should not have passed and that Disney is going to do everything it can to get it struck down in court. Well, Florida politicians did not appreciate this. They said that if Disney wanted to get involved in elected politics, then it should not have the special political exception that it currently has. You see, Disney was granted the right to self-govern the Florida property that it owns when Disney World was created over 50 years ago. This arrangement was made by Walt Disney himself and his brother Roy Disney. It allows the company to expand on that land whenever they feel like it, with hotels and theme parks, without expensive and lengthy bureaucracy along the way. So this, I think, is the perfect example of why woke capitalism is an oxymoron. Disney is protected in a way that an individual can never be, right? Disney is also a corporation that can also be sued in limited ways. It has protection. Therefore, it cannot and should not exert its political will. Most liberal thinkers don't want corporations to bend politics except when they do. And you cannot have it both ways. What if Disney helps to repeal the Florida education bill? Would we be happy? Maybe. What if Disney then decides, hey, I'm powerful politically. Maybe I'll do more politics and issue myself more tax breaks. Maybe Disney's going to give itself the right to limitless carbon emissions or punish union leaders with impunity. You see how crazy it is to try and get politicians or to get corporations to do politics for us because we don't like what elected officials have done. Now, according to the Wall Street Journal, Disney was blindsided when Florida actually began to repeal its special privilege. They didn't see it coming. So Disney let their dogs out, lobbyists, its political affairs team, the works. They asked Democrats to stall the bill and tried to schmooze the governor. So for now, the bill is still working through some red tape, but it is still a very real possibility. Disney will have to sit in a dungeon while it waits its fate. And you better believe that they're going to fight harder to get the state of Florida to not do this than they would to repeal any education bill, which in my opinion, they had no business getting involved in the first place. And so what of the woke mob that came after Disney to pick this fight? Well, in this book, Stolen Focused, journalist Johan Hari, do you see the book cover there? Mm-hmm. That one, please. He points out that social media riles us all up like hornets by promoting inflammatory content over niceties. So the woke mob has a larger voice than they would have otherwise. So if you're going to say something online like, hey, Disney, I'm boycotting every princess until happily ever after unless you do my politics for me because otherwise you're a homophobe and a bigot and a transphobe and that kind of thing. Well, of course, the algorithm makes that content more likely to be engaged with, promoted, and reshared than, say, someone who would say, I actually don't want Disney getting involved in this because my vote should matter more than Disney's money. So the angry mob has a larger voice, a louder voice than reason does right now. And social media turns up their volume for its own gain. So I think this is a lesson for us all to not make the mistake of thinking that corporations want to do your politics for you. They do not. And by pretending that they do, they get to turn our attention away from all kinds of things that they don't want us thinking about, such as the tax breaks they get that individuals do not, the polluting they cause, that kind of thing. So pretending that you can bend a corporation to your will is like wishing on a star for a fairy godmother to turn your pumpkin into a coach. It's fiction.
I love all of the Disney references.
I couldn't help myself.
Yeah, that was great. So
thanks.
Yeah, I mean,
can I chime in? Like, not kind of a counterpoint to this, but I see that, like, especially like, we'll take Florida, like where you have the problem of that you do of like gerrymandering, where you end up with these like people that are just completely disenfranchised. But the ultimately the votes don't really matter. No elected official gives a damn about the electorate. So in that situation, when they're just doing whatever they want and they're just running over the people of their state and they don't even care what the people of their state say, they're just pushing their political agenda.
Yes.
People don't have power, so they have to go to the only people that do have power in government, and that's people with a lot of money. And so, like, in that situation,
but we're shooting ourselves in the foot by giving these corporations more money, right?
Right. No, I agree.
And it's also sort of like maybe the new version of going to, like, I'm going to call up that reporter from Channel 6 who does those investigative reports, like John Carl on your side, you know, and he's, honey, I'm going to call up that John Carl from Channel 6 News and see if he can get this bill repealed.
Maybe. Yes, I get what you're saying is that our democracy is not perfect. And because of gerrymandering, not everyone's wish is represented in their elected officials. This is a separate problem. But as my grandmother likes to say, you can't go around your elbow to get to your ass. You're going the wrong way to get what you... So we should instead fix our election, not hand more power. Because think of all the money Disney already has in lobbyists. The fact that Disney can pick up the phone and get politicians on the phone and say, we didn't mean it. Let's not do this.
Let's have lunch.
Right? They already have too much power. So us, the people, are handing them more. And that is a mistake that will hurt us in the end.
But we also have to have a collective awareness that this sort of woke capitalism is a bunch of, you know, it's a bunch of bullshit. It's, you know, it's hypocritical, right? For us to expect Disney to do certain things, but then look the other way at, say, you know, Uyghur genocide in China. So you can go and film your latest
Mulan movie,
right? And then you can thank the Chinese government for all of, you know, so you can do, you can make money off of China. But then you can also be woke on the other hand and like support Black Lives Matter and support the, you know, the repeal of this sort of legislation.
Yes. But I do think that the media around this education bill has made it seem like, you know, Florida politicians are just bigoted a-holes without any rationality. But I think if you read the bill, you realize there is some rationality here. We could talk about it if we weren't so concerned about being right and being polarized at this point.
I did see there was a media analysis of media companies and how they've covered this story. And overwhelmingly, like, I mean, 10 to 1, the coverage, maybe it's like 1,000 to 1, the mainstream media has called this the "Don't Say Gay" bill.
Yes,
and they almost, and only 18 times have they actually called the bill by its actual name.
Yes,
you know, because that's how they do it, right?
Right.
So, let us know your thoughts on that in the chat below. We've got one more story I want to get to, and this is a big one, and this is about Moderna. Now, of course, we've been covering what's been happening with these vaccines, the adverse effects of vaccines. We've been covering the latest data from Pfizer, which we got blocked for and banned. That's what got us taken off of YouTube. And of course, that story was correct. And it was their own data. It was their own data on their own website and on the CDC's website, which you could, of course, read it for yourself so you could see their concerns. We then, of course, covered earlier this week. If you missed that story, please go and watch it. We covered the Pfizer angle and the SEC filings, where they talked about how they don't want regulatory approval, or they don't think they're going to get regulatory approval. And therefore, we should just basically keep the emergency use authorization going, because that way we won't have to have the pushback from the public on the problems with the vaccine. So now we're learning about Moderna and the troubles there. Now, Moderna has some pretty big problems on its hands as it relates to side effects and the efficacy of its latest vaccines. And not just COVID either, but their flu vaccine. Looks like it's not good. Well, which could help explain the emergency use authorization, which was now being pushed for their children under the ages of 6 vaccine. So this, of course, today, and this is how CNN, let me just play this. This is, I mean, if you just want to know how, like, how in the tank, by the way, you know, CNN brought to you by Pfizer, brought to you by all these pharmaceutical companies. Anderson Cooper 360 and our Health Watch is brought to you by Pfizer and all of these pharmaceutical companies that run ads on these channels. I wonder why they're so in the tank for these things. Here is how CNN reported this today.
From millions of parents with young children and babies. Moments ago, Moderna announced it is seeking emergency use authorization for its COVID vaccine for children 6 months through 5 years old. This has been the missing link. These people, kids, have not been covered, not been able to be vaccinated until this point.
Am I smiling? Mm-hmm. I think I'm smiling. The pharmaceutical giant.
Am I smiling? I'm so excited. I'm just so excited. Am I smiling? By the way, she never smiles. So, like, the fact that she is that excited about something, I've never seen
2-year-old people
smile.
These people.
These people.
I mean, they're babies.
Right.
But They haven't. They've been really crying over this. Get it?
They've been really excited about the emergency use authorization. But there's a lot of problems with this, right? I mean, this idea that, hey, we can't get regulatory approval for our vaccines because there's problems with our vaccines. So we're going to continue to push for the emergency use it's hard for me to say that.
Emergency use authorization.
Yeah, now, everyone at home, try to say it five times fast. Emergency use authorization. Now, this comes on a day. Should I say play the Fauci soundbite here? Because
yes,
this comes...
I was just going to say that. This comes on the day that Dr. Fauci told PBS that we are actually out of the pandemic stage of the pandemic. So maybe we should tell him not to use those words if we want to push along drugs under emergency protocols. Well,
we're out of the pandemic stage. We're not out of the profit stage.
So that's the problem.
And that's the way I see it, too. Well, I'll play the Fauci soundbite in a second. But, Philip, you nailed as Dr. Fauci likes to say in just about every interview I see with him, he likes to say, you just hit the nail on the head. So, Philip, you hit the nail on the head. And what the point is that Moderna wants to squeeze as much money as they can out of these things, right? They want to make as much money as they can before they can't. And so, hey, we've gotten the elderly, we've got the middle-aged, we've got 16-year-olds, and now we've got to get these kids. Like, you know, they're having boardroom meetings, and like, how can we maximize our profits? And by the way, we see this in their SEC filings. They're admitting this in their SEC filings, guys.
But they have also said that they're not sure that this vaccine covers Omicron. They think it is a smaller percentage, but it was not developed for Omicron, which is the dominant virus right now. So as a mother, I have a five-year-old. I'm thinking to myself, do I give my five-year-old this vaccine that doesn't cover Omicron when that is what is out in the world? And there are all these lingering questions. So am I smiling?
No, you're not. You're not like Brianna Keeler.
Okay. I want to be clear about how I feel about it.
No, she's really smiling, though. She's like, I've never been this happy.
6 months through 5 years old. This has been the missing link. These people, kids, have not been covered, not been able to be vaccinated until this point.
Am I smiling? Mm-hmm. I think I'm smiling. The pharmaceutical giant.
I love the fanfare background music, too, where it's just
breaking news. And I love how John Berman is so excited. He's like, this is huge. This is amazing.
They just need the Rebel Alliance in the background with the, you know, like they just blew up the Death Star and everybody's happy.
I mean, news is breaking. Ding, 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 ding.
I'm gonna use my voice. This is amazing. We have not seen this before. This is a game changer. Unbelievable. Brianna, are you smiling? I hope you're smiling. I hope you're smiling. Are you smiling?
People, kids, have not been covered, not been able to be vaccinated until this point.
Am I smiling? Mm-hmm. I think I'm smiling. The pharmacy.
So anyway, Dr. Fauci was asked about, hey, where are we in this pandemic? Judy Woodruff asked him this question. He's like, you know, we're out of there. We're out of the pandemic phase. So as Philip pointed out, we're still in the profit phase. But here is Dr. Fauci in his own words to hit the nail on the head.
And ask you, here we are. It's the end of April. It's the spring of 2022. How close are we to the end of this pandemic?
Well, that's an unanswerable question for the following reason. And I don't want to be evasive about it, but let me tell you why I'm giving you that answer, Judy. We are certainly right now in this country out of the pandemic phase. Namely, we don't have 900,000 new infections a day and tens and tens and tens of thousands of hospitalizations and thousands of deaths. We are at a low level right now. So if you're saying, are we out of the pandemic phase in this country? We are.
Okay. So there you go. We are out of the pandemic phase in this country. So then it's going to be a little tricky for these companies now to try to push forward with their emergency use authorization for a pandemic.
Now, I just want to remind you that we've done this story many times on this show, but under a Freedom of Information Act, the Department of Health and Human Services found that the United States used $1 billion of taxpayer money to advertise the COVID vaccine on mainstream media, including ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and CNN. So, you know, that coverage we just showed you of them getting so jubilant about new approval of another vaccine, right, is not unrelated, because they should be asking the question, is it safe for little babies, instead of doing cartwheels that the news exists, right? That is not unbiased news.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Oops. Sorry, Elf.
I thought it's funny that... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it's funny that it was PBS asking him that question about the pandemic, and it was NPR that was actually like way back when they were still pushing the first booster, and they were interviewing people that were saying like, well, as far as we can tell, like shortly after the second booster, like as far as we can tell, its efficacy is only about like a month or so before it drops off. So they knew back then that like,
yes,
that like that it was not what they said it was. I mean, this was like way back. So
yes,
it's just right. Interesting that they've actually been, I feel like they've actually done a fair better job of covering it, but then again, they're not as corporate backed as everybody else. So maybe,
yes.
Yeah. They're not doing cartwheels. Other problems though, for Moderna with their flu vaccine. I mean, they've got problems on their flu vaccine front. I'll just pull this up. This is a problem. Their flu vaccine now is showing like big problems. And as Motley Fool reports, Moderna could have a big problem on its hands. The not so great side effects of Moderna's flu vaccine candidate could have even greater implications for the company. Renewed fears about COVID-19 have caused many to rethink their view of Moderna's prospects. However, any consideration of buying a vaccine stock needs to look beyond the near-term COVID-19 surges in China and Europe. And look further down the road, Moderna could have a bigger problem on its hands. And that's all of the bad news as it relates to the flu vaccine. The company has had some good news to discuss. On Wednesday, Moderna reported that phase two of the third study evaluating COVID-19 Spikevax in children aged 6 to 6 years met its primary endpoint. That was understandably a key part of the company's presentation on its Vaccines Day. I love that the company has a Vaccines Day. In addition, Moderna announced interim results on phase two of their flu vaccine, and it's not so good. Really, really bad, actually. And so there's, you know, some troubling news there. But let's go back to the adverse effects, because now we're getting data from the UK as to what this looks like out of the UK and how the adverse effects of the Moderna vaccine. You can specifically go to their website and see the adverse effects for individual cases for the mRNA vaccine from Moderna. This is their COVID-19 and the adverse effects. You can see, blood lymphatic system disorders, cardiac disorders, congenital familiar and genetic disorders, ear and labyrinthal disorders, endocrine disorders, eye disorders, gastrointestinal disorders. The list is pretty, pretty long. You can see it broken down by age group as well. These, and by the way, 80,000 adverse effects. Remember, when you have like the VAERS reporting system in the United States, it only accounts for like what, 1% of the actual.
Yes.
So it's very, very small number that actually get reported. Yeah. So if you just like want to take this and then extrapolate the data from this, it's you could run with it.
Now I'm a mom of three, so when I see this 0 to 1 month age group and see that 85 babies had adverse effects, I'm thinking, what mother of a newborn is like, yeah, okay, do this, and then feels awesome about having 85 babies? That's 85 too many.
Well, I know one person who's happy about it.
Till this point.
Am I smiling? Mm-hmm. I think I'm smiling.
I'm so excited. I can't wait for my kids to get this. I can't wait to stick my five-year-old with this.
Speaking of waning efficacy, Dr. John Campbell had a video just 2 days ago that I'd like to refer to you called Waning Vaccine Efficacy in the UK, because it does talk about the antibody levels after the vaccine, after a certain number of weeks, and how there is a time that you do consider yourself more unprotected. And so it does feel like a treadmill. Like, you know, do you want to stay on this treadmill to continue to need vaccines to keep yourself protected?
Meanwhile, the CDC has information on their website about this as well. So this is the CDC's website. So if YouTube, you're paying attention and you're thinking about doing anything to us again and blocking us or banning us, this is on the CDC's website. Okay, just want to put that out there right here. What you need to know.
It's information.
This is information. Okay, not misinformation. This comes right from the CDC. And according to their vaccine adverse event reporting system, here are the problems from these particular vaccines, especially in male adolescents and young adults, more often after the second dose, usually within the week of vaccination. They experience this, right? I'm going to read it to you. Well, you can read it here on your screen, so therefore I won't get taken down and blocked by YouTube or other platforms. But you can see just some of the problems with the myocarditis, and the pericarditis right there on your screen. But let's rush these out there without regulatory approval. Let's push these through using the emergency use authorization. And Dr. Fauci, you better go back on what you just said about the pandemic ending, because we need to get emergency use authorization. Otherwise, people aren't going to actually approve these and we won't make money. That's the bottom line on all of this. This also comes on a day, by the way, when Denmark has now entered into this phase, which is they're ending their vaccination program. So Denmark is now done rolling out their vaccines. Denmark becomes the first country to suspend the COVID vaccine. Starting back on February 1st, they had identified the fact that it was that they were done and we are good. And like, the panic is over. That was February 1st. So now this will end in May. They are stopping the program and they're done.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, presumably you could go to your primary physician and request it if you decided at this point, right?
Yeah.
You can order it up.
Yeah. If you needed it or wanted it, I guess you could.
I mean,
go.
Who would do that, you know, 6 months later and just be like, you know, I do think I want that.
Beyond 2080 says, be right back. I'm moving to Denmark.
No, you're not going to move to Denmark because they have almost a 50% tax rate and it gets dark at like 3 p.m.
We did actually look at moving into Denmark a couple of years ago.
And those were the two reasons we didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you look at that, they actually have the highest happiness markers for population. They have like
highest literacy rates.
High literacy rate.
Yes.
They have great healthcare system, like everyone's taken care of. So that's where your tax dollars go. Whereas in the United States, where your tax dollars go is sending $33 billion into war zones. That's the difference between Denmark and where the United States sends its tax dollars.
Yes.
So yeah. We send it into Ukraine. Well, thank you guys so much for smashing that like button today. I hope you guys smash the like button. How many likes do we have? I got to check and see because I want to make sure. All right, we do have likes.
We are at 8,000 likes. We have 7,500 current viewers. We have a total of 83,000 views that have happened. Like people
look
coming
at that,
in and
you
out,
guys. So. Thank you for coming.
Hey,
we
take
appreciate
that, CNN
you.
Plus.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, CNN Plus, 10,000 subscribers. And we have 83,000 people who tuned in to today's show. So thank you so much for that. I wonder if Brianna is laughing.
Pharmaceutical giant is
till this point.
Am I smiling? I think I'm smiling.
I don't think you are. Anyway,
I'm not smiling.
We got some super chats I think we can hit up here before we wrap things up.
We have a bunch of them, so buckle in. So I'll try to go through them fairly quickly.
Okay.
So starting at the beginning, we have... $2.99 super chat. It was just a super sticker from Yuri2K. Thank you for that. We have, sorry, they take a little bit. Funky the Great super chat, $30. Thank you for the logical and rational point of view with facts.
Thank you.
Oops, have Rick D super chat, just $9.99. He didn't have anything to say. Just
Rick D's in the weekly top 40.
There we go. No,
maybe.
Nazi haters. This wasn't a super chat, but a Nazi hater who I assume does not like Nazis said when we were asking about the understanding Russian, he said, I speak Slovakian, which is close. And I understand most. It's accurate. So most of the translations we had were accurate as far as he could tell.
That's very good. Thank you so much. And by the way, great, great screen name, Nazi hater.
Yeah.
And then we had Stick Talk Boxing, $4.99 super chat. Funny how the stream ended when you got talking about the white helmet mafia in Ukraine. Free speech ain't so free. I'm not sure. Our stream didn't end, so I don't know what.
Yeah, the problem is, so when you guys are watching us live, sometimes if you tune in like a few minutes late, we're live every day here on this channel at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We do the show Monday through Thursday, so there's no Friday show. So 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, we'll be back on Monday with a new live show. When you tune in, if you tune in late, the stream will buffer, right? So you're getting, like, I think it gets you caught up or something, right? So, and then, like, if we end the stream and you're still watching, like, the buffered version of the live, it'll go, and you'll be like, oh my God, were they taken down again? So I get emails from people all the time, like, were you banned? No, we weren't. So anyway.
Let's see, Victor, a super chat, 50, so that's a krona. Hopefully YouTube don't ban you.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I had a similar thought.
Yep, only YouTube
we're
knows.
Living on the edge, yeah.
And then Carlos Valentin with £5. Wasn't just U.S. weapons the U.S. gave them. The Nazis and the Ukrainians have been trained by NATO, and they have a lot of combat experience.
Yes, true.
I mean, U.S. Special Forces, we see, I mean, absolutely, U.K. Special Forces have been there. I mean, heck, Boris Johnson, in many ways, the U.K. has been like the real pusher of this. I mean, and then as we reported today, you know, I showed you what NATO, what the U.K. foreign minister says and wants, which is we need a global NATO. So U.K. is really like probably pushing it more than anybody. So.
And then we have... Bojan, I'm just going to say frantic. I'm not sure what that, but that's 25, Kuna. And then we have, they didn't have anything to say.
Thank you.
$5 super chat from Beyond 280. Anyone getting Joseph Goebbels vibes from this disinformation governance board? I definitely got like more 1984 Ministry of Truth vibes because it's, it doesn't sound like they're going for like propaganda. It sounds like they're going for censorship, but.
Now, I tweeted early. You guys got to come over and follow me on Twitter. I'm at Clayton Morris on Twitter. She is at Natalie Morris on Twitter. At Natalie without an E, by the way. So I tweeted this earlier, by the way. Here on my tweet, on my Twitter, I tweeted this, which a poll. Where's my poll? Oh, here it is. Here's my poll. What's worse, Trump's Space Force, which is really just another excuse to funnel money to the weapons manufacturers, or Biden's new disinformation department at the DHS, which is total BS. I was surprised, actually. You had some supporters of... So what's worse is the disinformation department.
Okay.
Come on over and vote. Let me know what you think. All right, go ahead, Philip. Sorry.
All right, no problem. We have a $10 super chat from I'm Free to Be 3A. Great channel. I've been a loyal follower since discovering you a few weeks ago when Gonzala went missing. I have sent tons of your content to friends and family.
Oh, thank you
so much. Thank you so much.
And moving right along, Shannon, at the $19.99 super chat, the Proletariat's Ministry of Truth. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know what I'm reading this weekend.
Exactly. Please tell me how to think. I haven't been able to.
Risto with a $10 super chat. Anyone else find themselves unsubscribed when you're sure you were subscribed before?
Yeah, that's the thing, guys. Make sure you're subscribed because what YouTube does is, so if you're looking at your channel right now, if you're looking and you see that the subscribe button is red, that means you have not, like, you're not subscribed to the channel. So they unsubscribe people. So YouTube does this once a month or once every few months. They go and they unsubscribe you from channels. I don't know why. So if you're looking right now and you see that the button is red, that means you are not subscribed. So click the subscribe button. And then there's a little bell notification you can turn on so that when we go live, you'll get the notification as well. That's on YouTube. We got lots of rumblers as well. So
got two more. So 10 British pounds. Ukraine's current form will not last 5 months. Doubtful it will last 5 weeks. In the end, Ukraine will be smaller than Belgium. There's no independent media under Zelensky. He will shut down the OP media opposition media January 2020. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, we covered that here on the show.
Yep. And then our last one, Tracy H. with a $13.99 Canadian Shiba dog shouting good luck in a megaphone sticker. And
oh, thank you. We're right back at you.
I think we did have one more that came in after that, but... let me see if I can scroll up and see it.
I might have missed it. Yeah.
And we had lots of new members, which I want to say thank you. Yes, this is from Ivan K. He says, have the guts to watch interview The Trigger on London Real TV.
The Trigger.
Okay.
London Real TV. I will check it out. Ivan, I'll bookmark that to watch.
Thank you. And thank you to all our new members. Thank you to all our viewers. Thank you to all our chatters. And we will see you next weekend with... not next weekend. Next week, we'll be here on Monday.
Yes. And so. We will have, I like to cover the content as well. Like here's the thing. I'm a hard worker. And, so if there are things that pop up that I want to cover, like last weekend, I covered the Gonzalo Lira story on the weekend. I will be doing that. So expect to see videos from here, from this channel.
While the rest of us are weeding the garden, we're like, where'd daddy go?
Yeah.
And he's like, look at what I did. YouTube video.
No, I'm like, Gonzalo Lira was just released. Like we've got to cover that here on the channel. So, so anyway, please subscribe and then turn on that little bell dingus. So you'll be notified if there's a big story that we want to cover here, outside of the normal, weekly flow, the weekly heavy flow. All right, everyone. Hope you guys have a wonderful weekend and, we will see you back here on Monday. Peace out.